flyover state of film was shot in front of a live studio audience.
Welcome to Flyover State of Film. It's not the new year, but we already had our holiday episode, so no thematics here. How are my boys doing leading up to the week of Christmas?
I'm alive.
Stressed.
I'm merry.
TJ, Brian, Yusuf.
Hey, boys.
We're all merry. We're all here leading the end of the year.
It's like an end of the year show. It's low key. Everybody's like, hey, what's up, everyone?
I have a question for you.
Winding down here in the end of 2022.
Before we move forward, and I know it's not, but I just need to know what that is on your shirt because I think it's Jared Leto's Joker, but I don't think it is.
Me?
Oh, I'm talking about you, Seth.
Your shirt?
Yeah, it's not.
Walter Mercado, right?
Cool. Awesome. That's all I need to know, because if not, I would focus the entire episode on that.
Just like, it should have been Cesar Romero Joker. It looks more like that.
He wore that when we were in New York.
Never did.
Nice. So, yo, anyway, this end of the year, though, does have a little more drama in it in the movie world than usual, I feel like. With, like, just The Rock being kind of a bitch about his movies not getting off the ground.
He's always been a bitch.
Yeah, The Rock, I mean, he's, like, got that carefully cultivated public image, but that's why he's such, that's what makes him such a bitch, is that he cares so much about what everybody thinks. He's so careful to, like, walk on eggshells and not,
Did you see his statement today?
Was this about,
he gave
I didn't see it today.
Okay, so real quick. He
run down the little
Yeah, movie. I'll paraphrase it. So he actually gave the Trump answer. He was like, me and James Gunn have been friends for a long time. We've known each other a long time. Totally respect him. Work real hard at Black Adam. We're not going to continue with the character yet, but maybe in the future he'll come back. You know, much love and respect, and I support all DC and Marvel projects.
Dude's trying to get his foot in the door in Marvel now, too. Well, I think it's funny, and I didn't really realize this, that him and his wife and his ex-wife and their production company had been angling to get that DC position at the head and like take.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think if Black Adam would have blown up and would have like done blockbuster money, would have done Black Panther money, it would have been The Rock and not James Gunn getting that job. Black Adam, when they gave him Superman and let him kind of like push that and it didn't happen, DC was like, get James Gunn in here. That's amazing. I mean, they signed the deal almost immediately after that.
Yeah. Well, there's that rumor, and I guess these are all rumors, of like The Rock. They were like, hey, could you shoot a cameo in Shazam, the new Shazam? And The Rock's like, I'm only doing Superman. They're like, but you're literally his character. Like, his who knows if that's real or not. That always seemed a little far-fetched. But the reason why I bring this up is I feel like the Rock, Will Smith, and Tom Cruise, right? Like, all three of them are our last, like, movie stars or, like, of that ilk. But they can't get superheroes off the ground. Like Will Smith tried twice. Hancock and Deadshot. Yeah, anti-hero, superhero, same shit. The Rock's basically tried three times, but one of them is a superhero. Or anti-hero, Black Adam. And Tom Cruise hasn't tried, but he's tried to do so many different branches.
Well, he did originally. He wanted to be Iron Man. Before Robert Downey Jr., it was like for years, it was rumored it was going to be Tom Cruise. And then it ended up happening, just not with him.
Because he didn't want to show his, he wanted his face being shown. He didn't want his face covered up that much or something.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
I have a little, like, when you brought this up as a possible topic, I said that I had a little thought, and I've thought about this for a long time, and I think it's what makes the whole superhero thing work better with an unknown actor, is just that's the way the comics start out. When you're a kid reading them, or like when you first get into superheroes, the big thing about it, that's what made Spider-Man so popular. He wasn't every man. He was a kid. Any kid could have been Spider-Man, yeah. And he still struggled. And like, so it's easier to put yourself in that place when it's not a movie star. You know, when I watch, if I watch Hancock, that's Will Smith having superpowers. But if I just watched a guy, when I watch Chronicle, mm-hmm. I can think of it. Oh, Gemini, it could be me who touched the asteroid. Now I'm the guy who gets superpowers and I fly around because it's just, you know, Dane DeHaan or whatever. So
I feel like even if they ever did the Leo Spider-Man from the 90s too, it wouldn't have been as Kevin Maguire. Because like, think about it. Keaton, Maguire, like all these actors who are definitely, no one would have thought if you put a
character actors in a room.
Yeah, like it's one of those things where I don't know if again, there's movie stars today arguably aren't around as big as they were in the 90s, well, 80s, and 70s.
No, actually, it's one of the things that I think is actually an improvement about movies these days, is that ideas are like what sell movies now, which I actually think is interesting. I actually like that about movies nowadays, that it's not just like, well, whatever Arnold's in, I'll go see it. It's like, no, the movie has to actually look decent, and then I'll go see it. I don't give a shit who's in it.
I was going to even say with like Chris Pratt. Like, he's essentially the new superstar. He's in fucking everything. And like, yes, I love him in Guardians of the Galaxy, but like everything else, they've thrown him in because when he was picked for Guardians of the Galaxy, no one fucking really knew him.
He was marketable.
People who watch, the show, Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec, and he was great. Like, you're like, oh, the
good on Parks and Rec, too. He was likable and charismatic. You forget because, like, you see him getting slandered and you're like, yeah, he is kind of a douche. And then you watch him in something, you're like, oh, but that's right. He is very likable on screen and funny, and he knows how to deliver a good joke, and he's, you know.
Well, I think it goes back to Brian. I think you make a good point with that. It goes back to a couple weeks ago or a month ago, like everyone was upset at Quentin Tarantino saying, like, oh, there's no movie stars. And he's like, no. All he said in that quote, which is the same thing, is like, no, people go to see Iron Man. You can put anyone in as Iron Man, and if it's good, they're going to like it.
I have another theory, though.
Did you guys
though.
See the trailer for 65?
I think it's
sick.
Okay. It's like, nobody's going to go see that just because it's the new Adam Driver movie, right?
I will.
You know what I mean? Last Duels, Adam Driver, get me in there.
But Silence? Where my Silence heads at?
But like, if you're like, oh, but Adam Driver is gonna get Planet of the Apes back in time as a spaceman to a dinosaur world, I'll watch that.
No, you're right. Ideas capture, and it's like few and far between, even with the property. Like, I was trying to, I'll let Yusuf go back to you in a second. I was talking about it with someone, and they were like, well, what about Tom Cruise and Top Gun? Like, you said in Top Gun Maverick, that's a brand already. Right. That had a baked in audience of people who love the original.
Mission Impossible was the same thing.
Yeah,
right. Mission Impossible.
Name, Vin Diesel name with
Tom
Fast
Cruise
and the
movie that's gotten off the ground that wasn't a franchise. You know
you
what
can't.
I mean?
I liked
an excellent movie, and nobody saw that
show. Oblivion wasn't as bad as it seemed, but it came out like 3 months after before Edge of Tomorrow, so everyone was like, "I just saw this movie."
Yeah.
Yusuf, you had an idea. You had a theory or idea. What did you got?
Well, I think it harpers back to how Hollywood used to be. Hollywood used to shelter and hide their stars from the public. Yeah. And the only way the public could see them is actually going to the movie theater. So they did want to go to the movie theaters and see Humphrey Bogart or whoever you want to put in there. But now what drives is like he said, the ideas, but the true stars are not in movies, they're in social media. So if you look at The Rock's social media game, you look at Kevin Hart's or whoever, like that's where the true money is. That's where the true fans flock to. They'll see his IG live, they'll see whatever post he's putting up, and companies will pay a shit ton of money to be in their spectrum. So that's the true new movie stars are actually in social media. and they're only going to the movie theaters to watch a property, not watch The Rock, because they already fucking saw him eat 45 well, pancakes.
Saying, those people yeah. will go on his Instagram, and they'll tell him and anybody who advertises with him how great he is, how much they love him, and they'll be like, hell yeah, we're excited for your new movie. That doesn't mean they actually bought a ticket to go see yeah. it, though.
And then, you know, because they're saturated.
Like,
because,
and they'll I mean, see the tie-in Young Rock episode, I'm sure, where he was like, yeah, and yeah. we made the biggest movie of the year.
It's also like the incentive, too.
Of stars, just like... Well, no, go ahead.
It's like right now, like Avatar Way of Water's out, right? Is what it is. That original Avatar probably doesn't do as well as it did if Leo and Kate Winslet were in it, right? You know, if it had these big star names, it was just at that time the idea, this cool technology, and that's why it made like $2 billion.
Because though, also too, those two would have overshadowed the fact that he was groundbreaking and like
yeah, it would have been a James Cameron movie. It would have been.
It would have been oh shit, Titanic guys are back together. But also right. like, where's the incentive when it comes to the movie star now? Because if you think about it, like even as early as the 90s. The superstars were getting paid like the buku bucks. Like if you were going to see a Will Smith movie, you know, Will Smith was getting the fucking check written out to him hand over hand. But like now it's almost every, you don't even know essentially what they're like, sure. Like Robert Downey Jr. ever since Iron Man gets so many million up in Avengers movie, but like there's not that big shot. And then there's like the tiers. Now it feels like everyone's on some type of an equated level. And even if they're not, they just find an indie film, which finds its niche, where if back in the day when there were movie stars, it was like, you had to go see that number one person's film.
Only thing now, I want to push back on Brian, this topic's going a little longer than I thought so, but on is when he said like, it's cool that you just don't see the Arnold movie. The only thing that's gotten away from that is, are mid-budget thrillers where you're like, yo, that new adult Harrison Ford thriller sex drama, like I just want to see Killers in the Night or whatever the fuck corny was called. I wish those movies still came out where it's like,
yeah, well those movies that. They come out but they just come straight to streaming now.
Yeah, and they're not and they're like cheap and you don't get good directors and like yeah, writers on always, them.
Really gotta unfortunately you really gotta sift through. There are some good ones every year, but you really gotta like parse out what's
I feel know, like the only thing that is holding up, and maybe it's because of my bubble, is the director. The name of the director has yeah. really held sure. value. There's like the new Guillermo, the new Quentin, the new Ari Aster.
Ari Aster, like
the new currency, then the director is seen as yeah. the like the you know as the focus of that yeah. idea, the person who's bringing it to life. So they're the new star.
People getting excited about the Safdie brothers, like it's like their yeah. third yeah, movie.
The
new it's
Jordan
like,
Peele, like the next Jordan Peele movie will be a full event again. You know yeah, what I mean? Yeah. Like.
No. These movies are going to be events until yeah. So yeah. that's a cool point. Like directors are more movie, and as us as film nerds, that's yeah, cooler movie, than that's I'm cooler than that. A movie start.
And also, you think about it this way, it's like the one thing they also put out now in trailers, which you never saw back in the day, is like the you get yeah Steven Spielberg directing this or Quentin Tarantino's directing this. But now maybe in Quentin Tarantino movies he actually because he has such an ego, the first like clip of the trailer is like directed by, written by, produced by, and it's the yeah. same name for the three categories. When back in the day it was just like title screen, directed by, so trailer yeah.
from the guys yeah. who brought you How to Lose a Guy yes. in 10 Days.
The producers of The Quiet Place with
that movie fucking Adam slapped, Sipan. Man. I love How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Yeah. Next week on Flyover State of Film, we're talking about How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. You should pick twice.
We're gonna jump the lines. We can get that one.
Dude, I'm gonna throw my mom under the bus. Maybe I'll cut it out, but I was watching that movie for the first time with my mom, and I don't know why she fucking hates Kate Hudson. Or and as soon as she like unveils her takes her top off and my mom goes like out fucking loud, what is she showing him? I was like, whoa, wait, mom.
Your mom was not so. Your mom's not a you me and Dupree head.
No.
Your mom shots like fired at the IBTC from Yusef's mom.
That's hysterical. So, real quick, another kind of warm up. So, because it's the end of the year, what's something we could kind of do rapid fire of it? So, you saw this year, it didn't have to come out this year. That was just a first time watch, and maybe you haven't stopped thinking about it.
I can go first because I actually did a tweet about this a little while ago, so I have a couple on deck. So I can fire off, give you guys a minute to think if you guys don't have anything. First one that comes to mind is the 1984 Firestarter. I had never seen the Drew Barrymore Firestarter. And the new one came out on Peacock. I don't know if anybody watched the new one on
We
Peacock.
Might bring it up later, Brian.
Okay, I was going to say it's pretty bad. Although the guy who plays the villain in it is awesome. And he's in a show that also might come up later. But I was like, eh. But then I watched the original and I loved it. I was like, oh, this is so good. And it's got David Keith, the guy who plays the cowboy in Indian in the Cupboard, the little tiny cowboy. Ever saw him in, but he's Drew Barrymore's dad in that. And you got George C. Scott in like an equally unhinged performance to Exorcist 3, where he's like a weird creep with a ponytail. It's really great. It was really great. It was really, really fun surprise. Not something I expect to like so much.
Good. TJ, you got a first watch this year that, hey, boy, yeah. It could be a flyover movie for all I care.
No flyover movies. It was a show. Because, like,
good point, Joe. Let me look at the flyover.
I have a flyover movie on my little list.
Oh, no, I mean, it was just because, you know, I grew up in that Entourage, HBO, Hung, that type of like era, but like this show fucking challenged them all and also like had me fucking just like, what the hell is happening? And thanks to the girlfriend for getting me into it. But Euphoria for me was like the first watch of the first season, because I think the sex season,
I never watched it.
Dropped. It is,
I haven't seen it either.
You know, it has its moments where you're like, why the fuck am I watching this show? And then it has its moments where you're like, I fucking love the show. Then it moments.
Yeah, don't watch the second season. It's a fucking piece of shit.
Oh, you don't like the second season? I mean, you know, apples and oranges, baby. But that's the first one.
Oh, there's like, look out for a new look out for a mini series. These guys are about to break it down.
And Sydney Sweet or Sweeney, whatever fucking name is.
Yeah, I have no clue why you like her.
The mysteries abound here.
I mean, Sydney Sweeney, I can't really put my finger on it. Why? I'd like to watch that show, but she has a big brain.
She has two handful of brain.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
She's a pretty lady. I'm sure she's a great actress.
I'm gonna jump in and say, I already mentioned it, but first time watch, Rumor Has It. Like, this is a fucking piece of shit. I just want to hammer it again.
If you didn't see our last episode, fuck that.
Yeah.
You haven't stopped thinking about it?
No, I haven't. Honestly, it's so bad. So many people had to say yes before it got to me watching it. That isn't fucking incredible.
So what's a real, do you have a real answer for something you discovered this year?
No, honestly, no. Because the ones that we discovered, I mean, I honestly did watch for the first time the one with the wizard, is it called?
Yeah.
Yeah, that I've never watched that before. We watched it for this podcast.
Great movie. Slaps. Amazing movie.
Fun movie.
That's a fun movie.
It's one of those movies that you kind of go like, ah, oh, fuck, I wish I had seen it as a kid, because it would have been 100% part of my personality.
It's cool. It's cooler as a kid.
Yeah, for sure.
What inspired me for this question would be back in Halloween time, I watched Autopsy of Jane Doe for the first time.
Oh.
And I've watched that like three times since. Yeah, I know Emile Hirsch is a piece of shit, but like Emile Hirsch and Brian Cox and like the whole movie itself, it's like intense but like creepy, and
I really like that one. They carried it. Like, I thought that the way it played out was, I was like, it was all right, but their performance, like, they really killed it. Like, I remember,
yeah, like, it's something about it. Like, it's you know, it's very much you figure it out and everything, and like, it's the one that jumps out to me. That and another, real quick. I mean, this was trendy like 2 years ago, but I've also watched Psycho Gorman like three times, just because it's just like dumb fun comedy of Not My Hunky Boys.
that was one that like. I thought I might really like it, but I also thought it might be a bit much, and so I kind of never got around to watching it.
If we ever had a weekend together, it would be a good one to throw on with the boys.
I also watched Turbo Kid. I also watched
and the children and the wives.
Elvira.
And Tu Wong Fu. My flower pick is Tu Wong Fu.
Elvira, Mistress of the Dark.
Oh, Tu Wong Fu, man.
That was excellent first watch.
Oh, yeah. I didn't.
Couple Elvira other was the Sydney list. Sweeney before Sydney Sweeney's.
Elvira.
Wishes.
Elvira's great. Still's great.
I got one still. Couple quick ones. One that was from the show that's, I feel like, can't say it enough, Freddy Got Fingered was a first time watch. That was an experience to say the least.
ding dong.
Also one that I've watched I think at least two or three times now. The original The Wicker Man was a first time watch for me this year, and I fucking loved it.
Covered it on Fear.
That's not the Nick Cage one. That's a different one, right?
No, it's a different one. Cool. So who had someone has a topic for favorite, I believe.
Stop
it! I believe it is. Yeah, Yusuf or TJ.
Generic easy topic, especially
Favorite movies
at this time of year. What was your favorite movie? Surprises? What you love this year, man? TJ, start us off.
First off, I wish it. It's weird because it's one of those things that falls into the perfect amount of time an episode, the perfect amount of episodes for a season, but something that. It's going to take another like 2 years before it comes out. But The Bear, if anyone hasn't checked out The Bear.
Oh, Bear's great.
Hulu, I believe is what it's on. But I mean, I live in Chicago now, living here for the last 2.5 years. Chicago beef, hot dogs, everything this, that, and third. And also growing up in restaurants all my life, it just blended both those things together for me. And again, I knocked this out in one day because they're half hour, 28 minute episodes, maybe 45 at the most. And I think there's only 8, so it's a nice cool afternoon, chilly afternoon in Chicago, just watch. And you know, I don't know, I forget where the kid's from. I know his name is Lips. I don't know the show, I never saw it. The main guy, Shameless, right?
Yeah,
he's from that show. It's just like big thing, but I don't know, just the acting and like everything about it, it's a clean, great show that I fell in love with. When it comes to movies though, I didn't see much this year. I love Violent Night, which we just talked about in our most recent episode. You know, Wakanda Forever was a good movie, but Namor for me was like the best part about it. And like, I'm just going to be as positive as I can because I didn't see any bad movies this year. So, but like standout for me is the guy who played Namor because I want to see him in so much more Marvel stuff and get more of a deeper, like his own film, like The Submariner, would be a great shot at somebody to like really dive into this character. Because you do get a lot of them in Wakanda Forever.
I have one. It's been enough time for Wakanda Forever. I have one fucking thing that drove me crazy about with the Namor and nothing of that because I don't know anything about the comics is how he's like, our people have never been discovered and nothing's ever happened. Wouldn't the snap have affected his civilization also?
Because
the snap affected the eons, the universe.
So it affected everybody. They kind of gloss over that, I guess.
It has nothing to do with it. It's like the most nitpicky thing, but where he's like, you disturbed me. I'm like, yo, you guys should have been like decimated. Like,
yeah, right.
Yeah.
TJ, those are great picks.
Good stuff.
So for shows, for me, the two shows, big ones was The Rehearsal and The Dropout. Sorry, not things you just can't stop thinking about. Rehearsal, I'll be watching something, and if there's like a kid in a scene, I'll be like, yo, what do you think the ramifications are of that because of that Rehearsal show?
How do you think that kid's life is gonna go because of him having to be in this?
Yeah. Or like we were watching something the other day and it was like a shitty Hallmark movie, and I was like, none of those actors are singing in the background because I know from the rehearsal they would have to pay every single one of them.
We said the best eating in it, by the way, in the background.
Oh, yeah. There's,
I haven't watched it yet, man. I have to watch it.
Yeah, Rehearsal's great. And then
I keep scrolling by it and I was like, I bet that's fun.
It's gonna hurt your head a little bit, but it's a good time with art. The Dropout, the Elizabeth Holmes miniseries, that was really fucking enamoring. But for movies,
my wife loved that movie.
For movies, I'm just going to call out two right now because my list is a little too long. And I'll save it. Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. I mean, I saw that thing 3 times in the theaters. Fucking.
That's a lot.
Just, yeah.
That feels like a 2021. That feels like it came out the end of last
year. It was March. It was March.
I had to. Maybe I'll get to it, but I had one. I was like, I saw that last year.
I went through the list, and that's why it's like so long. Like,
I've only seen Unbearable Weight once, but I want to rewatch it again.
I think it was on Amazon.
Yeah, I got the DVD the Blu-ray. For some reason, I was in a Target, and this was like, it had just come out on Blu-ray.
Oh, you messaged me.
Like 2 weeks, and for some reason, the Target near me had like their Target exclusive version of the Blu-ray on sale for like $8. So I just bought it. Wow. I hadn't seen the movie. I was like, I'm just going to buy this. Have to buy this.
It's fun.
So the only other Nicolas one
Cage has a lot of fun in that movie.
Oh, that's why I enjoy it so much. The only one I want to call out that before we get like obvious.
Oh, and they
ones,
give a lot of love to Paddington too. That's why it's high up on my list.
Yeah, is, that was another first watch this year, the Paddington movies. Absolutely loved that because of that movie. And then Jackass Forever. It was actually really same.
Yeah,
that's on my list too.
So I'll save two for now, and then we'll ramble off all the fucking.
Yeah, I was assuming you'd
take any of those.
Yousef,
Series The Resort. I mentioned it various times here. Mm-hmm. Fun little short series. Time travel, fuckery, good acting. It's okay ending, but beautiful at the same time.
Fun. I do remember that show.
Okay. Yes, she's wonderful.
That main guy, the boyfriend.
Yeah, from
Funny, he's from The Good Place. And I always want to call him Cheaty, but he's got a real normal, boring name. His real name is like, you know,
I think it's Steve
Samson or something. You know what I mean? It's just like, and I think I can't remember his real name because it's too plain.
I did a fan casting when the X-Men was first announced. Like, I want to see him as Cyclops.
William Jackson Harper.
Yeah, it's just kind of like a normal. Actually, when you say it all together like that, he sounds like a serial killer. Anybody with 3 names like that makes him sound like a serial killer.
Yeah,
I have a serial killer name.
The other series was White Lotus. It just ended. Season 2 was.
I watched in the background.
It's so fucking good, man. It's so well written.
We're probably gonna have to before the third season comes out. I'll probably sit down and me and Sarah will watch those.
I'll watch the same
almost every single fucking character. You go like, I've met you in real life, and your actions, and
especially
your
if you're a service person, I would imagine. Like,
is that guy Kiwi or is he new Australian? I don't want to give anything away, but you know what I'm talking about. The second season. Did you watch the second season yet?
Which one, man? There's so many guys.
There's a Kiwi or an Australian.
Australian guy, but I can't say where he's from without giving a plot point away. But like, he was really good too, and I was like doing the stupid thing, like I'd cast him as Logan, just one of those fucking weird things.
Ladies,
doing the husband that is that asshole. Never mind. Whatever.
That's Aaron Bana.
So movies, my two that I'm gonna mention off before I read off my entire list. Bodies, Bodies, Bodies.
I had
a lot of fun. It's fun, it's dumb, it's actually very fucking funny. And I watched it with a Gen Z, my sister-in-law, and she was laughing a lot at her satire of her generation, so you know that it's actually well made. And I'm going to take The Lost City.
Lost City. That was a fun time at the theater.
Wait, the Sandra Bullock movie?
Yeah, that's the one that I said. That's the one I was like, no, fuck you. I saw that in November of last... No, it was February.
You know what's weird? I said Unbearable Mass Made of Talent, Jackass, and Lost City were all like within the same month or 2 months of each other.
Pretty much.
And Moonfall, and that was earlier in the year.
But yeah, The Lost City is like... harping back to action rom coms in a very well made manner, and it was just fun, man. It's just fun.
Did Brian go yet?
Brian
go yet?
Fuck, one I want to say too that I completely forgot about, but it's not his fault. It's my own fault because I'm stupid.
Did you watch Moonfall 9 times in one day when you're old office, TJ?
I didn't watch it, though. I just played it.
It was just on all day.
Because I can't hear it because it's so far away. So
I started fucking believing all the conspiracy theories. You're just brainwashing yourself.
Well, and also that little dude who kept talking about, he was like, yeah, Elon is really cool, actually.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's I threw up so many times in my mouth.
We almost took, if you can see right there, we almost took that Moonfall poster down after Elon bought Twitter, but I realized the movie's bigger than the man.
The movie's bigger than the man, that's right, absolutely.
Get
absolutely. Man. Let's just pretend that that guy's being sarcastic every time he says something like that in the movie. When you're watching Moonfall, and he's like, I love Elon, you'd be like, yeah, I get it.
You know what? One of my favorite Loki things about that movie is how he's British, but his mother isn't.
Yeah, well,
The first few times she acted there, she was trying to do an accent. They're like, you know what? Nobody cares.
I think, in my deep Moonfall knowledge, I think that movie was supposed to be like Josh Gad or like one of those actors.
Oh, I'm sure.
Looks like Robert Stark's best friend. I mean, his name is.
I could see it have been the guy from Fantastic Beasts.
Alan, yeah.
That guy. Fogel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I feel like they were just like, we already have the rest cast. I don't know, just be British. You like Elon.
Give me a type here.
You like Elon, you're into the moon.
You're gonna be our diversity.
Our boy Pena shows up in that.
Yeah, with the Mercedes. Oh, that movie's such a shit show.
It's ridiculous. Brian.
I also watched things in 2022. So it seems like we're doing shows, then movies. So I'll start off, and I'll be the obligatory one to say that Andor was as good as everybody said it was. So if you're a Star Wars person, even a Star Wars person who's been like, fuck the shows, these suck, Andor is legitimately like...
And I mean this,
crime drama show that just is also Star Wars.
I did enjoy parts of Obi-Wan, and I did like the first season of Mandalorian.
There was enough good stuff in Obi-Wan that they should have just made a fucking movie. But Andor is legitimately pretty good. It's like 12 episodes, but there's like 3 episode arcs, so you'll have like 3 episodes that kind of are one little story, and then you move into another part. So it's very digestible in that way. Good performance. Stellan Skarsgård kills it. Like, give me a movie with Stellan Skarsgård in Star Wars. Just give him his own movie now. I don't care about Andor season 2. Just pluck him out and give him his own shit to do. And then another show that I love that's already canceled, and it doesn't look like it's going to get saved, but it's so goddamn good, and I'll just keep talking about it, is Rutherford Falls on Peacock.
The cartoon animated one?
It's Ed Helms, Jana Schmedling. Basically, it's about
a mayor or something like that.
Well, right, it's like a small town guy who's like really into his town's history. He's like family town, you know, Rutherfords, and he's like all wrapped up in his town's history. But also, the town is on this land where they made like a kind of shady treaty with these local indigenous peoples, and they have a casino, and there's like the guy who owns the casino and the mayor, and it's like, you know, kind of like a indigenous. I don't want to say Parks and Rec because it's not as that much into the town hall aspect of it. But, like, the first season was okay, but the second season really, really got good. And if you're a fan of, like, Reservation Dogs, but you wish
That's
it wasn't...
Show. I love that fucking show.
If you wish it wasn't so relentlessly depressing sometimes, like, if you'd like to watch Reservation Dogs but also maybe laugh occasionally...
I'm still working my way through Reservation Falls Dogs because of that reason. Good.
That's fucking fair.
Relentlessly depressing.
I love Reservation Dogs. Put that on the poster. It's an excellent show.
This is me watching Reservation Dogs. That's neat. Oh, hey, Bobby Lee. Okay, that's neat. Yep, okay. Oh, Bobby Lee. Okay.
Bobby. And that was not a slam. I really do legitimately think Reservation Dogs is a great show. But, like, this should be its, like, goofy, funny cousin, and it's not going to get, like, Girls 5 Eva is a really funny show on Peacock. It got picked up by Netflix. For its third season. I don't think that's going to happen for Rutherford Falls. I'm pretty much sure they're done. But it's a really good show. And that's the one I was talking about where the guy, the casino owner, the actor's Michael Gray Eyes, he was the guy who was the villain in the new Firestarter. The only good part of the new Firestarter. But so that was my, those were my two, those were my TV show picks. I mean, there's Righteous Gemstones, second season was on way back in January of this year. It's incredible.
True season in March, or new season comes out in March.
Yeah, I know. February. Can't come soon enough. As far as movies go, we've obviously talked a lot of good ones, and I've got a list just like everybody else. A kind of smaller one that I saw that was in that kind of level of, I don't know, me and Yusuf talked about it, kind of like social horrors being big this year. Uncomfortable, kind of not cringe, but
I have
like
it on my list.
Is All My Friends Hate Me.
Yeah,
still gotta really see it.
A really good one. Obviously, RRR. I mean, duh.
Yeah, I have like, it on my list.
Everybody's one of the tops. But I'll tell you one that I saw a lot of those big ones in theaters this year. But one that I kicked myself for missing in the theater and I didn't see till it was on Peacock, and I've watched it like three times now, was The Northman. God damn, The Northman was so fucking good. Holy shit.
Yeah, that was
good. I still have to watch that one.
I love The Witch. I thought The Lighthouse was okay. It was a little inscrutable for my tastes, like, but it was good. But man, The Northman's beautiful, but like also straightforward. It's like it feels like an art film that you could suggest to anyone. You know what I mean? Like, you could, it has that artsy kind of vibe to it, but you could still like tell your stepdad to watch it, and there'd be enough to him to sink his teeth into. You know,
it's not The Witch,
right?
You can't recommend that movie, that art film, to everyone,
right? But The Northman feels like you could, and I just really loved it. And I think we're going to do a round robin of honorable mentions here. So whoever wants to start that.
Oh, yeah. Brian, I thought you were going to take it, but I completely forgot. Obviously, Barbarian I loved. But Prey.
Prey was another one. Yep, that was the best too.
Fuck, man. That movie's one of the ones where, like, I asked her.
Another one I've watched like three times now.
Yeah, it's one of those ones I ask her. I'm like, do you want to watch it with me? She's like, what's it about? I told her about it.
Check out our flyby on Prey somewhere.
And then she walks by, sees a part of it, sits down. She's locked in as much as I am. And like, I think I've watched the movie at least three times. Like, it's one of those ones where you can throw it in the background now. And you can just sit down and watch some parts. Just I'll get up and pull.
Another little great piece of indigenous media we got this year. You know.
Oh yeah.
For that sort of thing.
Shout out to the brother. Now, that's a badass motherfucker.
Oh, that yeah.
Talk about a great like breakout performance. I think that kid's like he's like a musician or something. I don't think he's done much acting before this. And man, he destroyed. So he was so good.
Joe.
Yeah. So. I think the pick for best picture that wouldn't be, except besides RRR, Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah, I fucking love that.
Clear Runaway. I just didn't say it first because I figured that's just the obvious.
I love that. We're getting to the point where we're almost mentioning all the ones I had.
I'm going to just, like I said, I'm just going to try to read a few that I like that aren't the obvious. I'm an outlier. I really like the new Hellraiser movie. I thought that was a really neat take. I had a good time with it.
It was too long, like it.
Yeah, it was a little too long. Most movies are.
Fun.
I also really dug The Black Phone. Same with the Sebastian Stan Cannibal movie, Fresh. These are all streamers. And then, and I'm only saying horror movies weird, but I guess it's mostly I watch. And then Fall really captivated me too, of the girls stranded on top of the tower, climbing the tower.
You told me that the trailer for that one really turned me off.
Nah, trailer. It was one I went in blind, and I think that's why I liked it.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me. One of you like the girls that are stuck in the kayak with the shark, like hunting them. So I feel like one of you.
Wasn't the reef? The reef.
No, nah, it's more about like it's more similar to the. It's not supernatural. But it's more similar to The Descent in sense of like women has to deal with trauma. They're extreme sports people. So to get her out of said trauma, like let's go climb the tallest like foam tower or something in the middle of the desert. And they get trapped up there. And it's kind of just like the intensity of like, all right, how am me and my friend going to get down?
I mean, if it's shot right. Something like that could be terrifying because I've played video games where it, like you're climbing to the top of a tall tower and I'm like getting nervous. I'm like, you can't fall off of this.
Give it a give it a shot. That's all I'll say. Give it a shot. But I didn't see the trailer, so that's very well why I could have.
I could have just been one of those things where the trailer looked like the CGI was bad and it was just like finished or something.
So I'll add movies. Men, I like Men, probably one of the most fucked up.
I was a little disappointed in Men. Maybe I just expected too much out of Alex Garland. I liked it, but I didn't love it.
Hey, man, it's the second.
I expected to love it.
It's the second best Alex Garland movie that he's ever made. It's only made three.
It's not the second best one. It's the third best.
I think it's the second best.
What are his other two?
Let's say a third one. Ex Machina and Annihilation.
Oh, yeah, that is definitely. Ex Machina is amazing.
I love
Annihilation.
Are you kidding me? Oh, movie fight?
All right. Smile. I like Smile. Nobody's in it here, but it's fun. The low hanging fruit. Probably Brian has it. Nope.
I have.
I'll add lastly The Menu. It's a fun, okay.
I want to see that. Still.
January 3rd. It hits HBO Max. January
3rd. Yeah, it's fun. It gets a little up its own ass, but
before I expect for it to get up its own ass, though.
And since everybody, I think we did hit almost all my ones, but I did want to mention one. I got to see it in theaters. It's going to be on biggest flop lists for the next couple of years. You're going to be seeing it. 3,000 Years of Longing with Idris Elba and Tilda Swinton.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
He's
man.
The genie. It was great. It's the new George Miller movie, and it was fantastic. And nobody saw
it.
And
I forgot all about that.
Round Robin of 2022 movies that you want to see but haven't gotten to. Because that's one of them, and I haven't seen.
I'll tell you what. One I almost still feel guilty about wanting to see, even though the director's a piece of shit, and even though I kind of heard it's bad, is Amsterdam. I keep seeing it's on HBO Max now, I think, and I'm like,
I want to see Bones and All because I fucking love Suspiria and I like Call Me by Your Name. And
is
I was
that
like,
the
all right,
Chalamet thing.
Yeah, supposedly it's like very visceral, like very graphic.
I want to see Bones and All. I want to see The Menu.
I thought Bones and All was one of those teen cancer dramas.
Same.
No. They're cannibals.
That's where the advertising looks.
No,
but
like
I want
like,
to see
Fall in
one,
Our Stars.
Yeah,
the one that I want to see,
paper,
and I think it's
paper
an
or whatever.
The one that I really want to see, and it's in HBO Max, is called The Banshees of
Inish. Yes.
Yeah.
Because it's like a low key sequel to In Bruges, and I was like, I'm so down for
this. I watched that trailer.
Yeah, me and Sarah were just talking about
Super Irish.
I watched that trailer 3 months ago, and it fucking captivated me. And
let's talk shit about 2020.
Colin Farrell's having a banger year this year. Holy crap.
All right, let's
topic
TJ. So we, I know you're on a nice streak, but I need you to be a little nasty.
Well, I mean, if we're going to do the best and our favorites, we got to do the fucking worst, guys. We got to dip our feet into the trash and do what we do best and, kick some dirt at some people.
There's no such thing as a bad movie. Why do you have to call them out? They worked hard.
They worked so hard on it. Yeah, but it fucking sucks.
You're not allowed to say anything mean about it.
There's the best grip on there. He's holding the mic the entire time. You swallow that guy. Yusuf, you start off for me, please.
The Gray Man. The Gray Man fucking sucked ass.
Can I add?
It was so goddamn bad.
You know what, Yusuf? Can I just add, it's not even one of my picks, can I just add The Adam Project to The Gray Man for that?
It's the same movie.
Yeah, shit.
Different filter. But
you're going to be able to put almost any Ryan Reynolds movie on here in the next couple of years. That dude is just pumping out. His days of giving us enjoyable... He is fully bought into the Red Notice free guy.
His three daughters started saying, I want to go to Harvard or some shit like that. He's like, I need money. All right, let's just fucking do anything now.
He's like, Blake.
That bullet's going to last forever.
He's like, Blake, I don't want you working again. You're going to stay home and raise my kids. So he bought a soccer team. And I do fucking Netflix shows and Cricket Mobile. And we're just churning this shit out.
And the Avion gin.
Can I get it. I love what they've done for the MCU. And I get... Even the TV stuff they've done, but I feel like the Russo brothers got this card and they just haven't really delivered outside.
Dude, they haven't batted anything. They just keep fucking stringing
a mess. And there's more money. Hey, give me this.
Didn't they produced the Christopher, the Chris Evans, or no, I'm sorry.
I think they directed movie, The Gray Man.
What's that
they
one? Directed. The Netflix movie? Did they direct that one too?
The Gray Man, that's what you
said. Yeah, no, the other one. Yeah, the Chris Hemsworth one.
Extractor or something like that?
Yeah, but they also did the Chadwick Boseman one, like the 13 Bridges or whatever that one was, from like right after Black Panther came out, where they had to shut down the cities like a detective. But they take their Marvel guys and then they just...
And they put them in like a schlocky action movie, but they don't. Yeah, I don't.
So maybe they're not good directors.
Like their Marvel movies, I think Civil War is one of the best.
I have
done. Like I really love.
I'm not to plug here, but I'm plugging. When I talked to Lon about Nope,
always be plugging.
On Fear, it should be out like next week or a couple, maybe a month from now.
No. It came out last week.
Nope. No, it didn't. Oh, whatever. Dude,
this episode's not coming out for 2 months.
Yeah. Whatever.
So it came out last week.
Nope. You made a good point of how, you know, the end of Nope, there's like the way like Peele like artfully crafts the action sequence of with the wacky inflatable tube man, so your eye follows the track.
Yeah.
And it's very deliberate. It's something good directors do. He used, I think, The Gray Man as an example. He was like, the action in those movies, your eye doesn't go anywhere because it's shit on the screen.
Yeah.
And no one's putting that thought into it. And it was again, the smartest thing that's ever been said on any of the podcasts we've ever done.
When we talked about Prey, we talked about The Gray Man because we were contrasting a good movie with a very bad movie. And I mentioned how every time I thought The Gray Man was doing something interesting, then they like slap some gross CGI on top. It's like they'd always be like, oh, this is almost a cool action scene. And then it would go way too far over the top on itself and like spread out into this nasty CGI glop nonsense and like
and
they just can't help themselves, they overdo it.
Like, yeah, and it's not only that they overdo it, is that they don't trust the audience to follow the action, so they have to be like hyper cut and the lack of reality, like Prey, because we're comparing to Prey, like the trees are real. The ground is real. Like, you feel connected to the action. Mm-hmm. Gray Man is a fucking studio with fake smoke and debris always falling.
So what, Brian, what you got there?
Oh, for worst? If we're doing movies, I have to talk about The Requiem. No one else watched this piece of shit. Holy crap. It ties in because it's Alicia Silverstone.
Yeah.
And that's what drew me in. And you know, I love a good shark movie. I'm always up for a shark movie. I remember this. And so I was like, okay, I will check out this new Alicia Silverstone.
Clever idea. Show.
I know it's going to be low budge. I know where she's at in her career, but my God, holy crap, was this just a garbage fire. She was really terrible in it, which was even more upsetting. It's like, it'd be one thing if the movie was bad, but she was okay. She was awful. The movie was awful. And then, like, the CGI shark was, like, laughable. It was just a very, like I said, I don't watch a lot of bad movies because I know my tastes. So usually I go into something I know I'm at least interested in it, and I get caught off guard. But this was, man.
Well, it's about another reason.
The low expectation of a shark movie. We all know when you go into a shark movie, you're already dropping your expectation down a little bit.
So, like, my point is, like, when I always talk shit about these shark movies, yes, I can agree that what's the one I always shit on that you guys actually
Shallows.
Like? I can agree what it is, but then I come with it like this weird logical point. But like, that's the last example for me that I don't know who directed that, or I don't know if you can do that on any type of a low budget, any type of like a creature. Even the one that I didn't mention, I liked a part of it, but then some of it was fucking just awful to watch.
That was the Reef one, right? The Reef sequel.
I'm talking about the Idris Elba lion one.
Oh, Beast.
Yeah, like, it's hard to like really have a live animal on with all everything that happens on a film set, especially don't let Alec Baldwin next to it. But it's like, how could you not put a lot of money into the shark and then everything kind of falls behind it? Because it's hard to do. Even the Meg, which was a high budget film based off of a great book, it never translated on screen. It always just looks too fake to me, always. Mm. So,
Joe, you have a bad one?
Yeah. Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh yeah, I have it on my list.
That Netflix. That is.
Let's buy a town, baby.
That is one that of the... rough one.
From a franchise already wrought with terrible sequels.
I like look at other horror franchises and all this when you like, you know, those slashers and then you go, okay, like there's scenes in movies you pick out and you're like, I still enjoy it. I'll throw it on. Like right now I'm slowly working my way through like Final Destinations just for the hell of it. Cause they're all kind of enjoyable. And I'm looking at the worst lists today when I'm coming up with this and there's other movies I have, but I'm like, this is the worst one I've seen all year. It's nothing to do with. I really only remember the bus and fucking the old ass woman who's supposed to be the woman who got away in the first movie.
Oh my god!
Who makes no sense shows up to be like to be. And the only good part about that movie
is that they immediately have her get murdered.
They ever get murdered, and it felt like an inside joke on the Halloween movies. Halloween ends.
Not only does she get immediately murdered, she really doesn't give a fuck about anybody. Like, she came in to, like, save people, and she's abandoning everybody. She's like, fuck you.
I feel bad. And what I feel bad about that movie, too, is I think it's, like, one of the, like, the girl who was in eighth grade, which is a great movie. It's, like, the only other thing I've seen her in is a little bit older. I'm like, oh, you were so good in your movie debut. What are you doing here? What about you, TJ?
I mean, I'm going to take the low-hanging fruit here, and I'm pretty sure it came out this year. Jurassic Park Dominion.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bad one.
It's because, like we were saying before, Adam 65, whatever that trailer is, like what we wish we would get, I guess, in some point with, like, even just drop Chris Pratt on the fucking island by himself. I don't care.
It inspired that question that right around the time it came out, like, why hasn't anyone else attempted dinosaurs? Why did we just see dinosaurs to the Jurassic Park franchise and be like, well, no one else can do them now? Like,
I don't know how long ago it was, but I don't know if anyone's familiar with the game Turok.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Dinosaur I think they were trying to do a film, like, back in, like, 2011, and... Funny enough, I think The Rock was attached at some point. Cause this was like its skinniest Rock. Not rock. The fucking,
this was rock. Doom Rock.
No. But also, when you think about it, that's even funnier. Rock. But it's, you get the whole build up. You get everybody back. You get what you think is going to be a film where the dinosaurs actually get to
be. We're out in the world. We're finally there. We finally got there. Yes.
And it's just locust this and locust that, and
it's the locust.
And all the dinosaurs throughout the world, guess what? We've gathered them all back up into one small park again.
And you're just at that point, like, because the trailer sold you on something. Even the short they did with the whatever the dinosaur was.
The short was fantastic.
I didn't see Dominion. I don't know if I will.
It's, no, you're not missing out.
Yeah, you're not, like I said, as a completionist, I'm always going to say give it a once over.
All right. What are some of our honorable mentions? I know most of mine are more disappointments.
Well, I prepared a show also. We did because we were doing movies and shows best, so I did movies and shows worst. Mm. And as far as worst, and this falls into that disappointment category too, I had to go with Moon Knight. Ugh, the Oscar Isaac's Moon Knight show. Very bad.
You were very both full TJ on Moon Knight for a while.
Someone like, today would just tell me it's the best one.
All the action happens off screen. It's just a really bad idea and for a show.
The first episode when they do that, and it's funny because I do enjoy some of it, but then I got really annoyed with that because the first episode, like, oh, I get it. Then like,
it was a fun gimmick at first, but you can't do it the whole show. The
entire thing, I'm like, am I going to see anybody? And then you finally get a fight scene when it's at the last two episodes, and then you get a fight scene between two giant, like, it looks like a Power Rangers episode, which is tight.
Yeah.
But, like, I wanted to see Moon Knight kick some guy's ass and murder some folk.
Yeah.
But, like, on the hype train for a show for me, I can't think of the name right now, but I fell in love with it watching the first couple of episodes, and the way it ended, I thought was the worst fucking show I've seen in a long time. And that's probably because of the disappointment. Help me out here. They buy the house. They move into the house. They're getting fucking the letters and kind of like
the watcher.
The watcher.
I thought you were gonna say Dexter, but that's
it. Started so strong and ended
hometown
stupidest fucking like
sorry hometown rival town.
Oh, word, yeah, it's in Jersey. Yeah, yeah.
It's literally the town we like. We're like fuck you too, Westfield, rich assholes.
Fuck you, we were.
Yo, mine is disappointment. The Bob's Burgers movie, man.
Oh my god, yeah. That's so bad.
I'm not as big of a Bob's Burgers fan as everybody else anyway, but like, oof.
It was like this movie where you're like, all right, it's me, great, I love Bob's Burgers, and you're like, oh, this is boring, and they've just phoned it in, and like, yeah. Honestly, some of my least favorite parts of Bob's Burgers are when they do musicals in it.
My wife fucking hates every single song that Bob's Burgers, and she loves Bob's Burgers.
Yeah, yeah, and they like love their musical part of it, but it's easy to ignore it in the show because it's usually in the credits or like, you know, for a minute. Just a bummer of a movie. Like, I've seen it on sale. This is how bad, you know, I don't want to call it bad, but disappointing. So I know when I'm not into it is, like, Brian, I'll basically buy anything for the right price.
I know. I've seen it. Are you buying this because you want it, or are you buying it because it's a good value?
I've seen it on sale with the slip cover. I love my Blu-rays with the slip cover, even bad ones. Nope. I'm like, I'm good. And the other honorable mention for bad, I don't have a TV show, is Orphan First Kill. I get it. It's silly enough, but it was like, it just didn't hit the so bad it's good for me mark that I just chalked it up to bad. Like,
yeah,
as a connoisseur of those so I'll bad it's good.
Megan, thank you.
Megan looks like a fucking time because it looks like they know what they're doing. Orphan First Kill looks
I paid money to go see the fucking Child's Play remake, so I feel like I owe it to this film. To just bite the bullet and give it a shot. You never know, man. I might like it.
Oh, so you're the one.
Yeah. Hey, that money gave Aubrey Plaza enough to put into her production company to give us Emily the Criminal, which was very good.
Oh, I still got to watch that.
It's good.
She's pretty hot in the White Lotus.
Who we got left? Brian, Yusuf, you guys got
topic. Your
mentions? We do another, is our final topic.
We have more topic.
That's Brian.
Oh, yeah, well, we're doing Blast from the Past, right? And we're having, we're amidst the Brendanissance right now. Everybody's loving Brendan Fraser. Everybody's loving his fat suit for the
like
whale.
Like, this year's movie where, like, movie's trash, but his performance
right.
is amazing.
It's that movie, like, everybody's got to be like, oh, yeah, this the movie, we don't really love it. But, man, we're so happy for Brendan to get his shot, you know?
Wait, people said it's trash?
I've heard mixed things. That's trash. It's just a very heavy heavy movie. It's Darren Aronofsky.
And also, there's fat actors exist, so stop putting skinny actors in fat suits and stuff. Just give a fat actor a job.
But you don't want you don't want an actual person to be the size. He's a 600-pound character.
Yeah,
so
no.
I don't know if you want to. Even if you're a heavy set actor,
okay.
You should...
But no, he's not, because he's Brendan Fraser in a fat suit. He's not actually 600 pounds. Neither would the actor who played him. But
I heard him talk about it. It's very respectful. It's different than the other like fat suit type roles. So I'm give him a shot. Is kind of what the.
It's fine.
All right, Brian. What do you got there? What do you got? What do we want to put?
Whatever.
Fine.
What is the topic?
The topic is, what is a role in the past 15 to 20 years when we've been waiting around for Brendan Fraser to come back that you could have put him in that maybe would have fast-tracked this comeback? Where somewhere you would have plucked him, whether it's a role that you think we would have been good in a hit or a movie that he would have elevated and made it a hit. I don't know. Whatever you want. What do you think? What's a role you would have put Brendan Fraser into?
Joe.
I was thinking about
okay.
And don't say The Mummy 2017 as a stupid lazy answer.
Wasn't thinking that.
I honestly forgot about that movie.
I broke this down.
I need a minute then, guys. Give me
okay.
A
I broke this down by different genres. Meaning like I think we could fit Brendan Fraser and would have excelled in different genres. First and foremost, he would have been the clear front runner for Star-Lord.
Anything Chris Pratt, honestly.
Yeah, like he's that perfect level. That's why we want to see him succeed right now. He's that perfect level of charming and goofiness. I mean, when we talk about Blast from Past,
affable is the
affable.
Word I think we
want to
say.
I'm just going to do a speed run of all because I don't feel like spending the time to go. Not a straight up movie, but I think any comedy of the early 2010s or so, you pair him with Paul Rudd. You put
Kate
them
Hudson.
In a movie together. You do a bromance
or
movie.
Or like put it like Bradley Cooper role in The Hangover.
Like I think you get a breakout there. I think if you want to give a little more character acting chops, I want to put him as one of the adults in Knives Out.
Okay.
Yeah. And then my other...
That would have been actually...
That's
a good thing. And then my other one as a dark horse, because I was looking at posters today, the movie Daddy's Home would have been 1,000 times better if he was Mark Wahlberg's character paired with Will Ferrell. All
right.
So he gets to be funny, but he's not the full-on comedic relief. Because that movie fucking pisses me off.
Well, since Joe just unloaded his fucking gun on us all.
Sorry, that I had a list. I knew none of them would be yours.
I just got one I was just thinking about earlier because I was like, what was it that brought him back other than... I can't think of, like, he might have done a small indie role before.
He's been doing small indies, and he took, like, 5 years off. Like,
he had streaming action stuff that he did.
So I'm like, he really came back kind of, like, more in the forefront of the nerd culture again with, you know, being Doom Patrol and doing the voice of...
Oh, that's right, yeah.
But I was, like, thinking in my head, I was like, it would have been fucking sick because they did recast this role after the very first Avengers. I was like, if for some fucking reason Josh Brolin never took on the role of Thanos, but you just threw Brendan Fraser in there. There's no suits. There's none of that. It's a mocap. You get the voice, which I think he has a great fucking voice on him and definitely a range of the voice that he can do. And I don't know, something about it. Like, I always will love Josh Brolin's Thanos. It's something that's, you know, very hard to be think of anyone else in the role, like Robert Downey Jr. and Iron Man. But, like, if I could, in my head, give Brendan Fraser the role that'll then skyrocket him back into, you know, our lives on screen, would be Thanos. Then can you imagine
interesting one
you did just, like, launching him into everything in our faces? They would Chris Pratt him, probably, unfortunately. Yeah. We see him fucking everything. You'll be in Jurassic Park, which, again, in my head, when you said Chris Pratt, I'm like, oh, I would have loved Brendan Fraser in Jurassic
Park. Right. Anything Chris Pratt's in, you can just plug him out. Fraser would be better.
But also, Chris, like, Pratt of the 90s. Through, obviously, yeah. he had a change in his body and his look, and obviously, lush locks, but he with the plugs and everything. Put him behind something, get him comfortable, get him back into it like they did with
Get him the Marvel diet and natty way of life.
If you don't think Brendan Fraser is gonna be cast in some MCU movie, but like not a hero, but like either a side villain or a bureaucrat.
You know,
that's does anybody remember that he showed up in the G.I. Joe movies?
No.
Yeah. He has he's like a flyby character in that, like he's like a general or something.
Jesus,
I didn't think about that. Now I'm going to like X-Men because I'm like, what do you cast now? Like an X-Men. Like,
he'd be a great Beast.
Hey, we see Brendan Fraser's Galactus.
We get Beast? Brendan Fraser as Beast?
Brendan Fraser as Beast?
Oh, shit. That's pretty good, too.
Like older Beast?
Kelsey Grammer's so good.
Kelsey Grammer. Beast.
Yusuf, what do you got?
I got two. Either, like, do you want him to be like a funny side character? I think him in the Wakanda universe as the white dude instead of the guy from British would have been a fine.
Martin Freeman's role pretty easily.
Would have been a fine, like, easing him in. Or if you just want to fucking make him a leading man, I feel like, despite the fact that I hate the ending of Edge of Tomorrow, I really think Tom Cruise is very badly miscasted as a bumbling idiot that becomes a badass. Brendan Fraser as a bumbling idiot that becomes a badass would have made 1,000% more sense. And he actually knows how to have chemistry with a woman. something that Tom Cruise has never had. So that would have made a better love interest with, I'm blanking on her name.
Emily Blunt. Emily Blunt. Replace her with Elizabeth Hurley. And
we got a movie.
Bedazzled sequel.
Yeah. Bedazzled the sequel.
I feel like,
but yeah,
Brendan Fraser has like how we talk about. I've talked about it a lot on the show. How like Michael J. Fox was such a great leading man. Yes, it's tragic that he was never able to do more. I feel like Brendan Fraser has that same thing, right? You watch him and you're like
at this topic to the bank. Pick an actor or an actress. And that you would do over their career.
Okay.
add this topic to the bank.
Do over.
Look forward to that. Look forward to that, fans.
So, but yeah, anyway, just thought that thought popped in my head before because that Brian, what do you got?
I want to like. I was thinking. You know, I'm just looking through some of my favorite movies, or like what you know, some of my favorite directors. Who could he have worked with? Where? And then I was thinking of there's a role I think would have really used his likability, but also let it given him a chance to play a range that he has not that I've never seen from him before, and go into like get into maybe a darker, more dangerous place. What about Calvin Candy from Django Unchained?
Holy shit!
Wow.
Like, he really gets to be, like, likable and flamboyant, but he's awful. You know what I mean? And he's so... I was watching Blast from the Past, and I'm like, this is really just Encino Man. It's a guy who's just experiencing the world for the first time, and he just gets to kind of tumble around.
Man, I can't always talk about that movie.
So likable.
That's George of the Jungle, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's just so good at it, but he's because he's so likable and relatable and just kindness, and he radiates that, to see him play a character like that who is outwardly very, very, you know, nice and kind and fun to be around if you're on his team, but then to see the, it would give him a chance to really stretch a little bit and really, like, show us something, you know?
Well, so. He's also, like it's like you're right. It's like the George of the Jungle, the all the fish out of water stuff. He just nailed perfectly, and even like fucking Dudley Do Right, which was like
I think just his childlike wonder. So
I forgot about Dudley Do Right.
Everything he does, you know, he walk around with that wide eyed like goofy face.
I mean, Bedazzle is the same thing when he's like getting the wishes. He's having that. Oh, what is happening?
What's happening?
Moment.
But in that doughy face, right?
He hits the range perfectly, and. I can't wait to talk about that.
Like, I wish we could. Let's just get right into it.
I mean, yeah, I guess we can talk about. Was that the end of the topic? Is there anything
else? Everybody like, did their casting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So, movie.
We're in the movie. So I had actually originally had the guys pick. We picked Airheads, but unfortunately, it is impossible to find on streaming, even blacklist. Yeah, even through the back channels.
I watched it so many times streaming.
But it was on HBO Max.
I actually watched it.
Because if you want to hear somebody talk about Airheads, you can always search the DVD bunker.
Is
that even available?
That movie's great.
Well, you did a YouTube episode on that one.
Oh.
Yes, you did. So I pivoted, and I was like, well, we still want to do a Brendan Fraser movie, so it was between that and The Mummy. And so I have Blast from the Past. It's easily accessible. So we chose back from the Blast from the Past, 1997 or 98. Alicia Silverstone, Brendan Fraser, we already kind of said it. Fish out of water, tail, Sissy Spacek. What's the fucking name? Christopher Walken, and it really just goes a conspiracy theorist. Was it late 50s, early 60s? 1962 guy in California thinks that a bomb gets dropped on his house, so he moves his family into his foolproof bunker that's set to open up in 30 years.
Yeah, it seals them in to protect them from the radiation.
And, I said genius, 25, but that fucking bunker is ungodly. Like,
drinks warm Dr. Pepper.
Warm Doctor, which is a thing. It was a marketing campaign. Yeah.
It's not only warm, like he boils it on.
Yeah,
that
no, that was stove. So in that time, Dr. Pepper was losing sales in the winter. So they said, how do we do that? So they literally just made a commercial being like, doctors recommend you boil the, you know, to help with insides and shit.
Soothe a sore throat or
whatever. Yeah, something like that. To do that, and they raise a kid in this bomb shelter, and he's like, I mean, he's a prototypical, like, you know, greatest generation American
he's like
kid.
Raised by boomers, but like,
he's Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know,
he also like is kind of a genius because his dad's a genius. So he like, I thought they were going to lean into that more because like they make a point of like how smart he is for his age and everything, and like how his dad, like, basically hand-tutored him. I thought that was going to come into play more in the movie, that he was going to be, like, smart.
I knew
the boxing thing would come back, obviously.
Yeah, he knows how to fight. He can dance real well. Like,
it goes back in the end when he, like, pulls off, like, that fucking, you know, perfect ending through his, like, you know, buys yeah. everything and
yeah.
invests.
Yeah, but he just finds out
the fact that he has his wealth. I love the fact that he has his wealth through the baseball cards of the ones yeah. that'll never DH too. Which is, he's like five Mickey Mantles, yeah. like pristine condition,
and the bonds of like Apple and fucking.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, like, yeah. I noted they mentioned Polaroid. I was like, ooh, he sold that one just in time.
So he meets up with so the bomb shelter opens up again, and the parents are weak, so they send Adam. Brendan Fraser up into the world, and it's just like seedy LA. That's all they sees, and just some really good physical. Like,
oh man, I remember the trailer for this. Anybody remember the trailer for this movie?
Oh yeah,
it's on one of my VHS.
The trailer leaned very heavily on the "Ooh, look, a Negro" line. They love that yeah. line. The trailer loved it.
They loved it.
Excuse me, what? What's your
name? That's Rebecca De Mornay for my Seinfeld fans out there.
She's incredible. Also, like, yeah, Liam Neeson has the heart attack, and he can't go up. So the mom's just like the best part about it is the mom's playing like the typical like stay at home mom. That if the dad was actually out, she's like having her Chardonnay at fucking like 10 a.m. and sneaking the bottle.
There's some darkness going on with Sissy Spacek's character.
Oh my god!
Oh, I fucking love that she was.
This movie papers over it, like, but she.
I wish they really leaned into her because they showed it in the montage, but like towards the end, she's like, "I'm back to me."
Yeah,
but they should have like fucking just. Really?
Well, I'll tell you what, the movie ends with Christopher Walken sort of planning a new bomb shelter, and I guarantee if he starts building that, that's it for her. She's done.
Oh, yeah. You know what's crazy about that?
His ass the whole time,
I'm thinking about that, the scene, again, we're just jumping forward, but the end scene, they do the class, they pull out, and he's doing the steps. And I thought I saw him doing that in the beginning of the movie, and I thought that's one of his ticks. And now that you said that, I was like, oh. He was literally planning out
the new bomb shelter out back, yeah. Because he doesn't believe, because he doesn't believe the conspiracy.
The Russians?
No. It really fucking spits very well with 2022 that he's not accepting reality at all. He's like, yeah,
no. They just gave
but
up.
But like his Sissy Spacek is quietly playing like a very depressed person.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, that's the thing. Okay, so I saw this movie in the theater in 97 or 98, whenever it came out. And I didn't really remember that. I mean, I remember thinking it was pretty good and then just kind of backburnering it and never really seeing it again. And in my mind, it was just kind of a straightforward love story. Like, he comes up out of the ground, meets Alicia Silverstone. I didn't, like, I had no, like, obviously, this is just basic stuff didn't register with me back then, but, like, the whole, like, business of like what that her like hit her being kind of like a streetwise gal helping him get his stuff together and none of that really registered for me, so like it was interesting to go back to it and see what kind of the dynamics at play.
One of the aspects that I really
I grew up with this movie,
like they hype him up to be like this amazing man, and they did something that is very rare in movies, especially this genre, is like everybody fucking hated him. Like all the people in the party were just talking mad shit about them.
Yeah,
like through and through. So you know that as soon as that plane hit, they're like, "Fuck that!"
Like, oh well,
so, bye. Nobody even looked into it.
I love the way the investigation is like, "Well, I guess their bodies are just completely incinerated."
And they're like, "Oh, it's a septic tank. You don't want to open that." And they're just like, "Yeah, we'll just fall over it." Like, what? Oh, okay.
Genius. I grew up. This was like a staple. Like, it's one of those ones that was always on TBS in the early 2000s. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's fucking on.
One of the weirdest elements of this movie has to be the cult guy.
I love that progression of
it's
being
so,
like...
It's like a funny gag, but it's such a weird thing to kind of put in the movie. It's so...
He's like, buy it from me. Hell, I'll give it to you.
it's that guy who's also in Twister, right? He's on the team in Twister. Like, that dude was around a lot in that era.
He's the one that is taking a shit in the child's care.
In the office.
Yeah.
Jim walks in on him in the toilet in the office. Yeah.
Why didn't you lock the door, man? It's for the children's safety.
Dave Foley also steals the movie.
When I legitimately squealed when I saw Dave Foley in this movie.
Oh, you forgot he was in this?
I did the Leo gif. You know, I like sat in my chair.
Oh, and even Nathan Fillion, his small role in it too. And
oh, he gets his ass handed to him.
Also, we cast Nathan Fillion as just the handsome asshole. Like, just
yeah.
He's so young in this movie. It's weird seeing when,
I forget her name, but the social worker is the grandma in Blackish.
Oh, okay.
And I squeal because it's just one of those roles where you're like, you probably had a million of those roles in her career, yeah. And then she went on to do a few more prominent things later in life. I was like, oh, it's you. You're hysterical. Like.
And one of the girls he dances with, and when he goes to the club and
before Alicia Silverstone cock blocks a threesome for him.
Yeah. Right?
One of those girls.
He's about to live the life, the dream. He's about to come out of a cave and be shown the wonders. And he's being punished for doing the right thing, which is Alicia Silver. He shows interest in her. She soundly rejects him, and then he is like, that's where our relationship is. We're friends. He never pursues her again. He never even attempts a second shot at her. And she gets in the way. That's so cunty.
What did you say?
It's that whole my best friend's wedding energy. It's like, oh, I didn't want, no, I wanted you until I realized you were desirable to other people.
Yeah, well, he gets the classic makeover where he loses like the 50 digs, but also does the weird like jazz swinger set getup.
Okay, I have to say, I was shocked at the restraint the movie didn't do him, because this is like. This movie's like right before The Mummy, and it's after George of the Jungle. Yeah. So how did they not have him do his shirt off? Like, he gets wet for some reason and takes his shirt off,
so
and
that's
reveals
what I'm saying.
Wow, he's shredded ripped. Body under there. Then Alicia Silverstone's all like, ooh.
But this
know.
Is that part where I feel like you didn't need it, because even for me, I swooned.
I think the dancing scene was that.
No, not the dancing scene. The rain scene where he gets rain for the first time. Mm. And he's sitting out there just drenched and like, you know what's underneath, you know. But then they do the whole thing. Like, that's where she falls in love. The trope. She sees him. And he's like, oh. But that's where Brendan Fraser, I feel like, really captured his, like, the where am I type of thing.
Childlike wonder.
Yeah, because when he sees that and then the ocean part, I'm even like, oh, this back in my time, I was like, this dude's acting. This is real.
He's getting emotions. Like, you wouldn't. I mean, let's ignore the fact that he would be plagued with every disease imaginable.
He would probably die immediately as soon as he breathed the air.
But we can look past that because it's a fantasy. It's a fantasy movie.
Let's just pretend that because Christopher Walken was a man of science, he inoculated him against a bunch of.
I don't know. It's just a really fun comedy. And I think it's one of those rare ones that it holds up pretty well. There's nothing really in it that you're like, oh.
No, it holds up pretty good. We talked about Alicia Silverstone, and at least Dave Foley calls her out.
Yeah.
She was very aggressive. Like,
he is kind of sassy gay friend in this, but it's Dave Foley.
I like how he lets him.
I feel like Alicia's character was very aggressive for no fucking reason. Like he's very like vocal and aggressive. It's like, I'm not gonna fucking date you, bro. Just stop looking at me. It's like,
I think that
he hasn't said anything. Come on,
he has creep vibes, and he would. He's a guy who just came out of a bunker, and he's like,
I feel like he has puppy. Yeah, he's like
Alicia Silverstone was trying to be like. They were just going for like, she's the tough girl. She's been around.
She slept with a bunch of dudes. Alicia and there was a love story. But in reality, it's more, this is a clueless excess baggage Alicia Silverstone, where she's like sassy and brassy and is like a streetwise,
But she's doing East Coast New York thing,
gal,
with being like that, when she could have been like this valley girl that also might have a little bit of an edge to her, but.
I like the line where Brendan Fraser is like, I need to meet a girl from, I think, Pasadena, because my mom says all good girls come from Pasadena. And then he orders like a Rob Roy or something like that. And like Ellie Silverstone's
champagne coolie. He's like, I thought only prostitutes drink.
Yeah. She was like, I thought only whores come from like Pasadena. Yeah, it's well cast.
But at the end of the movie, she goes, I'm from Pasadena. And you're like, hold on, wait a minute. There's some issues there.
I think Brendan Fraser or Adam was just like, this is going to be a big shock to my parents. So you're going to tell them the things they want to hear. Because really, they're going to live on that plot of land.
I thought they were going to end the movie with not telling them that there had never been an attack. I thought they were just going to let them live. Be like, you're right, you did it, you survived. Now you have a new home and you don't have to worry. Everything's clean, you're fine. I didn't think they were ever going to reveal it to the
parents. I like that bit of reality at the end of it. It's like, because you do get that good line from Liam Neeson. You get that good line from Christopher Walken of just like the comedy, be like, all right, that's what they want you to think.
Yeah. You can take the crank out of the bunker, but you can't take the bunker out of the crank.
It's a nice breezy comedy that's not going to offend anyone. And
I think it's a beautiful love story. And also and a nice sad story. When the social worker shows up and tries to take him away, man, I'm just like, I feel so bad for him. He's like, here's all my money, here's this part of
like adult protective services and whatnot. Like, the man's...
I don't blame...
California.
I don't blame her. Like, Dave Foley is like, why'd you do that? And she's like, this guy told me he wants to take me to his bunker. I've known him for a week.
That's
fair. I'm kind of like...
It's a little creepy. It's true.
Yeah.
But anyway, anything else you guys want to interject with this or...
No, this is just a fun, like wholesome one. Nothing. Yeah, I mean, no.
Yeah, it's like drinking a nice lemonade when it's hot. It just goes down smooth.
You'd probably pair this if you want something with a little bit more social commentary. You pair this with Pleasantville and like kind of watch these together.
Yeah, that's actually
and watch How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days with my mom.
So, what about the
you can make
rating.
Jokes about Gay Husband's flat chest.
What about the ratings
phase? Let's go into the ratings phase!
TJ, start us off, boys.
I mean, for me, this is just one of those ones I always watch as a kid, Joe, also. I'll give it, because I love it so much, and Brendan Fraser... He's that guy. I love that guy. I'll give it like a clean 7.5 Alicia Silverstone mouths.
Something she does have that. She does have a big mouth.
She's a very like Drew Barrymore thing.
But Adam, your baseball card.
Oh, they hit the Adam and Eve thing a little too hard. I was like, you guys, oh my God, stop saying the name.
Eve, Adam, Eve.
We fucking get it.
Brian, what is your Adam and Eve rating?
You mean the company that sells dildos? Or?
Yes.
sponsor.
Yeah. We've never made it, man. We've never been sponsored by Adam and Eve.
We should.
I would give this, you know, everyone knows rom-coms aren't my wheelhouse. That's not my genre. But this is a fine, solid, like, inoffensive, good time. I give this like a 6.75 depressed, near suicidal, sissy SpaceX.
I agree. Like, it's just, I mean, I love anything from Brendan Fraser, and I have a very soft spot for rom-coms. It's just like, just the perfect movie when you don't want to watch anything, but you also want to watch something. If you understand what I mean.
Brendan Fraser has put a few movies like that, I think.
Yeah, that and Encino Man. Airheads is fun too, but Bedazzled. I would give it a 7.2 out of 10.
I figure how he does it.
Give me a I'm right there. I think I'm the highest one on this. Give me a 7.7 Brendan Fraser nineties rollerblade and inline skating.
I thought he was going to break his ankle running to that fucking water trying to take it off in the sand, bro. I was like, ugh. That was killing me.
All right. Where we at? TJ?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay.
TJ, you break in the new year. Ooh. Like last year, actually.
2023. Starts off strong, baby.
Yeah. Nope. Not going to do that. I'm gonna keep it as fucking TJ as I can. And I was thinking about this before because I was watching it about a month or two ago. I want to get him on to the Rushmore. Anthony Michael Hall. This is Uma Thurman. This has Robert Downey Jr. in it. This is an 80s classic. This is called Johnny Be Good. It's free on Tubi. It's free on Peacock. It's free almost anywhere you can fucking think of where shit's free.
I'm guessing it's not good, despite the title.
It's about Anthony Michael Hall is a star quarterback of a high school, and there's a bunch of colleges trying to recruit him to colleges.
So this is a hyper fantasy.
All right. Bye.
Back in the woods among the evergreens, there lived a...
You can find us all here at Flyover State of Film. Flyover State of Fear.
Johnny Be Good.
Happy New Year. Bye. See you next year.
Merry Christmas. Bye. Find us on Twitter. Or whatever.
Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah.